Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom old.
Hello sailors, did you miss me? I certainly missed you, especially when it looked as if my little hiatus might stretch out indefinitely. Which would have been a great pity in my humble opinion, because I very much enjoy creating this bit of shippy happiness. Therefore, extra special thanks to the wonderful people who volunteered to come on and talk about their OTPs with me after I sent out the desperate help me to my previous interview partners. I now have some backup options should the need arise. But on to this episode. It's been a year since the first episode was released. How amazing is that? So you might call episode 21 the first one of the second season. The lovely Evelyn joined me in speaking about Changyi and Xiaofei, the main couple from the Taiwanese boys' love show The Trap, which is part of the history series. I've personally fallen deep into the rabbit hole of BL this year, so talking about this ship was a pleasure.
But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fan works might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at shippingcast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast, in addition to the Ko-fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering. And I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies and German Literature. These days I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, vidding and gifing, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song...
Spoilers.
Boys' love is a genre of its own and one we haven't covered before. So Evelyn and I get a bit sidetracked a couple of times, but what else is new, right? I'm sure you almost expect this by now, and there'll be plenty of talk about the actual ship, along with recommendations. Just FYI, I plan to read every single one of them. But let's dive right in.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hello.
Let's get started, shall we?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much agreeing to do this. I was afraid that the whole podcast was, you know, dead in the water, and then you came to my rescue.
It's more like you rescued me. Yes.
So before we get into the fandom side, mm-hmm. Do you want to introduce yourself? Kind of tell people a bit about yourself?
All right, my name is Evelyn. I'm from Canada. I'm still in high school and I'm dying, but you know, that's okay. Yeah, there's nothing interesting about me, but you know, I ship people and it's fun, yay.
Yeah. Yeah, and you found me through one of my previous podcast subjects, right?
Like, yes.
Yeah, I sent out a please help me email to everyone who's ever been on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it worked like a charm, so yay.
Oh, that's good to hear.
To your fanish background, what's your fandom history? Because, I mean, although you're still in high school, I'm sure you already have, like, a fanish background.
Oh, yeah. So I've been in a fandom just, like, in general for quite a bit of time. It's really funny because I wrote my first fan fiction when I was, like, 8, and I didn't know that was fan fiction. And I was like, I'll just call it my own story, but I'm taking it from a different thing. And I was like, this is fine, right? And then, like, my parents was like, no, that's not that great. And I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't think of it until I got into Yuri on Ice in, like, 2016. Wow, that was a game changer. So then after, I was like, I really like this stuff, and I would write about it, and just kind of like scroll on Tumblr without my parents knowing, because they're just like, what? So yeah, and I'm here now.
What was your first fandom then, like online?
Oh man, well, the first one I wrote about was Legend of Zelda, because I wrote about, like, Zelda and Link, because I'm like, that is a good ship. But then after, the one I really started to get into online was Yuri on Ice as well. Mm-hmm. And then it slowly became musicals, like Dear Evan Hansen, Be More Chill, all that funky stuff.
And do you usually have, like, one specific OTP, or do you multi-ship?
Oh, I have so many ships. I think it depends on the fandom I'm in. Like, for a fandom, I'm usually like, this is my OTP and I will accept nothing else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm blanking out. I'll just use Yuri on Ice again. Like, a lot of people, like, even the creator ships, Yuri and Victory, Victor, excuse me, but some people would also ship Yuri and Yurio, which I find kind of weird, but you know, you do you, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, another example is, like, I ship Totodeku from My Hero Academia, that fandom. But some people, they ship, like, Bakugo and Deku, but I'm like, no thanks. Like, I don't know, I just can't ship, like, one character with another character. It's just not for me. I don't know, I just, it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, whatever floats your boat.
Yes, of course.
Because, I mean, I actually had 2 episodes about My Hero Academia already.
Ooh, and spicy.
There were 2 different ships. It was Bakudeku and and the other one.
I'm guessing Kiribaku? Kirishima,
yes, exactly,
Bakugo?
Kiribaku, that's true.
That is a good ship. I like that one.
Yeah. So it's I do think it's really interesting, you know, to get, like, different perspectives, how, you know, people latch onto different things.
Yeah. I think it really depends on what gets them into it first. Like, mm-hmm. a moment that just makes them go, this should be canon, or like, this is like my one true pair and I will accept nothing else. I don't know. There's some people who like ship a few people together, like in the Dear Evan Hansen fandom. Mm-hmm. Some people would ship both Connor and Evan, and mm-hmm. Evan and Jared. Yeah. And I'm just like, Treebles forever, I will accept. I said this like 5 times, but like, just Treebles. I can't move out of any other ship with Evan. It's just, it be like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we had an episode about that one as well.
Yeah. That's really funny, actually, because the person who talked about it, they kind of mentioned to me, oh, you should like talk about History of the Trapped. And I was like, oh, okay. But I was like, I wasn't sure what the podcast was about, so I was really nervous. And then after, like, I realized when they told me that you were open to talk to people, and I was like, oh, cool. So I like look up your guys' podcast and I listened to it, and I was like, whoa, you guys like mentioned me. I heard my name in there. What? I was like so bamboozled. I could not believe I was hearing this, and I was just like freaking out for like 5 minutes. And my parents are like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay.
Well, if you know, you write good stuff, you get, you know, you end up on red lists and stuff.
Yeah. So that is great, yes.
Yeah. So you already mentioned Trapped, which is the fandom that we're going to be talking about today. I was very, very excited when you mentioned that as your fandom of choice. Because I've been completely in the boys love fandom thing in the past few months. Like,
that fandom alone, just yes. Like, I've been meaning to get into this one other anime, Modou Sushi or something. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's like the like sort of like Spirit Pact, but I don't know. There's like dramas of it and manga, and I just, it's really good. I just don't have time to watch it.
I'm not watching the dongwa, but I've watched the live action, The Untamed. That's currently my main fandom. I'm so in love.
That one, like, I said the Chinese name because I didn't remember the English one at the time, but yeah, good stuff.
Very good stuff.
Good stuff.
But, you know, unlike The Untamed, Trapped is actually explicitly boys love and not just a bromance, because it's
bromance is just such, like, I can't believe you've done this. Just make it canon. Don't do this to me.
Well, they can't because it's Chinese.
Yeah, and
Trapped is Taiwanese, which makes a difference.
Like, 10 out of 10 right there. You got me.
So maybe we should just introduce like Trapped to people who might not know it.
Okay, I wrote a long thing about this. Oh my god. So Trapped is basically a Taiwanese BL. BL stands for Boys Love. It's a drama that spans about 10 episodes, I'm pretty sure. It was like 45 minutes. But all of them, like the original one is like 25 minutes, I think, and it was like span of 20 episodes. So like those, when I watched it, I just binge watched everything. Like, I would not stop watching it. It just got better and better. Yeah.
So it's part of the history series.
Yes. There's like a lot, actually. This is the third season, and there's like 2 shows with the season. The first one is History of the Trapped, came out like quite a while ago, early this year. And then the second one, Make Our Days Count, also known as Miracle, just came out recently in October. I have yet to watch that one.
I've started it. It's been up to episode 4 or 5
now. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, because the special thing about the history thing is that it's an anthology show. Like, it's separate stories. Like, the Make Our Days Count has nothing to do with the Trap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all different, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. And they all have happy endings.
They do, yes.
Which is so refreshing.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I need good stuff like this.
Yeah. But so what made you really fall for a trap then?
I think, well, I was trying to find some good shows that are in Chinese because, like, I really want to learn Chinese. So I was like, oh, there's this Chinese drama. I'll watch it. And since it was also BL, it just kind of like a win-win for me. Like, I'll learn some Chinese and I'll also get to enjoy the gay. Like, yes. At first, I was sort of not sure if I liked it just because it was kind of a dynamic I wasn't really into at the time. Since, like, it's a cop and mafia kind of ship. It's like, it's practically like opposites in a way. And I was like, I don't really like that then. And it's also like rivals to friends to lovers. And I was like, I don't like the jump from that. Since I'm usually just a huge fan of childhood friends to lovers. Like, that is what I live for.
Me too. I'm usually really not into enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
But then they really make it work.
Yeah, they did. And I was like, slowly as you watch, you could just tell they're growing together. And it's beautiful. The chemistry was absolutely amazing. Like, if no one told me that they were acting, I would be like, what? You guys aren't actually a couple? Because they make it so believable. And it's just amazing how actors can do that.
Yeah. It always, you know, like, whenever I catch myself thinking something like that, I always can't be like, bad. This is kind of, you know, because it feels as if I'm insulting their acting skills.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, the acting, of course they can do that. That's what they do for a living.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, but they really had, chemistry is something, it's just something that, you can tell people have good chemistry and they definitely do that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Excellent chemistry.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, that's so that's the main ship of the show.
It's Tanyi and Xiaofei. Tanyi is the gang leader and Xiaofei is the cop. So is it okay if I just read a bit of the plot out so the audience can know? So it's, the show starts with a cop and a gang leader being like shot and killed, right? So then there's only one survivor at the end. And so it just, it's like that. And then slowly when we start watching it, the main character, Xiaofei, it's like 4 years later, he's very obsessed with finding out the truth of what happened to his colleague and who shot them, right? And the only person like that was alive was Tanyi, the now gang leader. So he's constantly trying to figure out clues and putting this together to why everyone died at that day. And then someone else slowly starts coming into the like situation. Someone named Chen Wenhao, and slowly as that guy comes over back to Taiwan, and Xiaofei starts learning more of the truth, and so does Tanyi, because he didn't really know what happened or who killed who, so they both didn't really know what was going on, and and then after, they start finding out the clues and start going together because of Chen Wenhao, they start falling in love, and it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, and Xiaofei at first, he's really after Tanyi because he thinks that Tanyi actually knows what happened.
Yeah, and then Tanyi's like, I don't know anything, stop doing this. And he's like, I've already filed a lot of lawsuits on you. And then Xiaofei's like, yeah, but I'm not afraid to do it again. That was hilarious.
He's tiny but feisty.
Yes, he's the small boy.
Well, actually, he's probably not even that small. It's just that Chris Wu, who plays Tanyi, is probably huge. Really, really tall.
Yeah. But the small boy of the show is actually Zhao Zhi. Love that kid.
Yes.
Adorable.
Yes. That's the second. He's half of the second pairing.
Yes. Oh, my God. That second pairing got me into the ship, into the show so much more. Man, good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so you already said that you started out not actually wanting to ship this pairing. So was there like a specific moment that sold
you? It was just kind of like when I started realizing that they liked each other, and this, the way that they look at each other, you could just tell that they're so in love and they're like absolute idiots for each other. Like, I think that's when I started to really like it more, because it was moving on from enemies to friends.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, I don't know, just everything about this couple, just big uwu.
Yeah. Do you have like favorite moments of the
show? Oh yes. I think it's the part where Xiao Fei, he got shot or he got hurt, and then Tan Yu was like super concerned for him. And then Xiao Fei, they were both outside, and then Xiao Fei like really realizes that he likes Tan Yu, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to do everything that I can to make you mine, or something like that. So when he confessed, and I was like, yes. And then after, like, the next episode, Tanny, he was supposed to, like, give his response, right? And then I'm like, oh, no, Tanny might not like, say he likes him back or something. And then all of a sudden, Tanny just yeets all the way to Xiaofei and kisses him. And I'm just, like, screaming, because it's sort of dramatic, but I think it's such a nice way to say yes.
Yeah.
So... yes, that was good.
And he did not care at all that they were surrounded by Xiaofei's work colleagues. It's like, who cares?
And then everyone was like, oh. It was great.
Yep, that was definitely a great... And I also like that even after that, you know, they were still learning each other.
Yes, like, they were still growing and like... Yeah. Slowly becoming like an actual couple, and it's just it's beautiful.
Yeah, because they come from two different worlds, so it would have been very unrealistic, I think, if everything had been just sunshine and puppies.
Yeah, we need eggs to make these two idiots come together. Like,
yeah, and it also shows that like I always think that you know. So often in shows, they kind of end a show with the first kiss or something. And like, no, like, but that's only when the relationship starts, you know?
We need to go all the way, or what is the point?
Yeah, it's like there's still drama in this in relationships. It's not, you know, just because they've gotten together, it doesn't have to be boring.
Yeah, that's totally true. Like, I don't know, like, sometimes I watch shows that, like, when they just kiss, and I'm like, oh, that's great, but then they end it, like, why did you do that? But it was getting to the good point, because you want to see them grow with each other and learn from their mistakes and become better for each other. I don't know. Just, oof.
Yeah, and that definitely happens in this show. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the birthday cake
thing. Oh, I was going to talk about that. That was, like, my second favorite moment.
Yeah.
When they, when like Xiaofei was celebrating Tanny's birthday with Tanny, and then Xiaofei was like, I hope that I can be with you every year on your birthday. And like, you could see Tanny like tear up. And because I think a great part of it was, since the actors, Jake and Chris, they both have their birthdays on the same day. So I think it really just made each other feel like, they were like, it felt more real because they just had that connection. It's great.
Yeah, that was a really lovely scene.
Yeah, just,
and of course, then they kiss, and that's also very lovely.
Oh yeah, that was like, wow.
Making out against the window.
Oh, and then there was like that bodyguard guy, and he was like, bro. Blah.
Yeah, Doug is standing in the garden drinking vinegar.
Yeah. That's the good stuff.
So I'm not active at all in like the fandom. I've only seen the show, basically. So I'm going to need you to tell me what's the fandom like?
Oh man, the fandom? It's really good, I think. Like, it's not really big, but it's not small at all. I think you always have some sort of content you can just look at every once in a while. Like the fandom on Tumblr, since I'm mostly on Tumblr, they're not as active as they were before because the show ended, but during that time period when I was running, there's always new gift sets and new like videos and so much fan art and fan fiction. It was amazing. Like one person, I think Floyd Baxter on on Tumblr.
I follow her for other shows right now.
Yeah. So she's like the main person who runs Tumblr in a way. Like, she keeps the fandom alive, and I'm so thankful for her. I love them so much. And there's, I think it's just, I noticed some of the main artists and like writers, like Wei Lanfu and DB and Decadent Deer Police, one of my friends, all of us just, we don't talk to each other often, but I think we do acknowledge that was really into this ship and this like this fandom, so we just kind of keep each other afloat in a way. That's what I think personally.
I can imagine. Yeah, now that the show is over, probably a lot of people have kind of moved on.
Yeah, I think they've moved on to like make our days count. And
yeah,
like I wanted to, but I also want to stay with History of B-Trap because it just it makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's completely different. I mean, you know, with what I liked about the trap is also that it's about grown-ups. Since you know, like Make Our Days Count is set in high school. I think they're in like the last year of high school or something, which for me is kind of like, oh my god. I mean, the actors are older.
It's quite young. I think I think it's fine, but sometimes it's just. It feels kind of weird, especially if there's any, like, like, sort of sexual things. It's just, and like, I think it's normal for to do that if they're, like, not ace like me, but I don't know, just, but since they're adults, it feels like it's okay for that thing to happen. But,
and I mean, you know, it's also normal for teenagers, but it's still, you know, for me, like, as someone who's older, it feels a bit strange sometimes.
Yeah.
But then I always remind myself that the actors are actually older. They're not actually teenagers. Yeah. They don't look like teenagers.
No, like, they don't look anything like teenagers.
That helps a lot. But yeah, but the trap was about actual grown-up people living grown-up life.
Yeah. And it's pretty great.
Yeah, and the show had, like I said earlier, that the history stories, they always have happy endings.
They do, yes.
But yeah, but the trap is kind of bittersweet, right?
Yes, it's very bittersweet. Like, spoiler alert, but
yes.
Like, when Tanya went to prison, I was so sad. Like, I can't believe you've done this. You can't split them up. And we don't know how long it is, too. Like, they could be... He could be in jail for like 5 years, 10 years, and we wouldn't know. And it's just like, how long is Xiaofei gonna wait? It's just sad.
Yeah. It's lovely that they end the story together and everything. Yeah. But we don't. I mean, and he does have to go to prison. I mean, he
does.
He was a gangster boss.
Yes, he was. And he was a pretty big game leader too, so
even if he tried his best to, you know, to legalize his gang, there were still lots of shady dealings going on.
Yeah, like all the drug stuff and like sort of killing. I don't know. Great.
So I guess they didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, and I think it was inevitable for them.
Yeah.
Like, especially for Tanya, because I felt like he knew he was going to go to prison. And it was just, how long would it be until he goes into prison, I guess?
Yeah. We're just going to have to assume he doesn't have any priors, you know, because they were never able to have anything stick, you know, when Xiaofei was trying to... To arrest him and stuff. He never managed to, so he doesn't have any priors, and he probably has the best lawyers.
Yeah.
And he'll be out with good behavior after a couple of years.
So. Yeah, they have money, so.
But So if in the in fan, so yeah, so that was just basically my headcanon for what happens after. Mm-hmm. But what is what's like, are there popular headcanons or fanons?
I think it's mostly just the aftermath, or like mm-hmm. since they're already sort of like together in a way. I think most of the fandom just basically thinks that they're married, and you know, that's okay. Like, they're mm-hmm. practically married, right? It's kind of the same, like, Good Omens, like, the two couples. Yeah. I don't know their names, but it's basically like that.
And Crowley.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and in Taiwan, they can actually get married, so there's that.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, totally okay. But, like, in China or Japan or Korea, it's totally, like, a big no, and that just makes me kind of sad, because mm-hmm. I feel like, even though, like, I'm Chinese and stuff, I feel like, the West should, well, not the East, sorry, I'm dumb. The East should be just a little bit more open to LGBTQ and same-sex marriage and stuff like that, but I feel like that sometimes.
Yeah, it sometimes it seems to go very slowly.
Yeah, but I feel like they are slowly improving, like, mm-hmm. just a bit, but it's better than, like, going back and being even more.
Except like, for China, unfortunately.
Yeah, China is a big oof.
Because, yeah, obviously, like, the Untamed and or mm-hmm. Guardian were both based on actual BL novels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because of the,
restriction,
I think it's not actually
stuff.
That you're not allowed to display homosexuality at all. You're not mm-hmm. allowed to display it in a positive light.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the rule. So I'm actually very grateful to the makers of The Untamed that they decided to go the bromance, very heavy on the romance in the bromance.
Exactly.
In, you know, rather than giving us like a tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm really, really tired of Barry Our Gaze, Your Gaze trope. Yeah.
Or when they all like die at the end or something. Yeah. Like, come on. You can't do this to us. It's 2019.
There's a reason why I don't watch Chinese BL.
Yeah. Because it's just, it's going to end in like sad, tragic things. And I can't do that.
Yeah. They don't mm-hmm. really have a choice. It's like, I think it was in the past couple of years. But mm-hmm. luckily, Taiwan is the most progressive when it comes to LGBT rights.
Mm-hmm. And I think Thailand is also really good with it. They have a lot of dramas I have yet to watch.
I watch a lot of Thai dramas, but they're getting better, but they mm-hmm. still have a lot of cliches.
Yeah, like, that's true.
It's getting better, like I said. Mm-hmm. It's much rarer that like the main characters, you know, where it's like, oh, one's the husband and one's the wife.
Yeah, and, no, it's totally not like that.
And I'm not gay. At all. No, I don't like guys. I just like you. It's like
that's basically it, actually. Oh my gosh. You just like hit the nail on the man. Perfect.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
In Thailand, it is. So
I'm really happy that's like that. Mm. Yeah,
I'm watching lots of Thai BL actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the trap.
We're so off track. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Well, that's what happens with me. People know it. I think people listening to it kind of. It's part of the charm. I've decided it's part of our charm.
Yeah. Like, I was going to mention a bunch of people, but I'm like, okay, what's my mind talking about? What am I doing? And I'm just kind of going with it, you know?
So,
yes.
But yeah, so there's lots of post-canon stuff.
Yes, there is.
And also, are there also, like, AUs? Because I know in some fandoms, there's lots of, I don't know, coffee shop AUs and stuff.
Well, I think since this fandom is sort of small still, especially mm-hmm. with Raiden, like on AOD, there's 500 fics. And I can't read the Chinese ones, but there's mm-hmm. probably some good things going on there. But I think the most, the fics I see, like AUs, actually, like, just either post-canon or mm-hmm. if it's, like, a Switch thing where Xiao Fei is a mafia leader and Tani is, like, the cop. Like, one of my friends on Tumblr, Decadent Dimples, they wrote a story, like, kind of about that, and I was, like, hooked into it. So, yeah, that was really good. And are you? Some other ones, I think, would be, like college or university AUs where they're like younger and they're like not trying to kill each other. But those are the only two AUs I really see now, I think, just because the fandom's small, but I would love to write a coffee shop AU when I have time.
Yes, because you're you already mentioned that you're a writer.
Yes. So
have you written Tangyi Xiao Fei fic?
Oh yeah, I have like solid three of them on AO3. They were mostly just for these collection things by Floor Baxter. It was like I don't know what it was called. I think it was a History 3 Trap just collection. And I don't know. So like if I have more time since I'm in my last year of high school, I would definitely write more. It's just where do I have time? And it's like also NaNoWriMo right now, November, so I'm writing that and I'm doing other schoolwork, and it's just painful. But yes, I write. Shout out to my AO3, K_Miller. It's great.
There'll definitely be links and everything in the show. So people can find you.
Oh yes, please stalk me. No, I'm joking, don't do that.
So is there anything else about the fandom and the ship that you want to share before we get into the specific recommendations?
I think overall the fandom is like very nice. There's not much discourse or toxicity. I can read, it's okay. So it's, I don't know, like for getting into that fandom, there's, you don't really have to worry about people hating on you because you ship something. I think because everyone like ships Tani and Xiao Fei so much, like no one would ship them or anyone else.
You watched this show where if you're into BL, and then you're probably much less likely to to try and make and do, I don't know, and I mean, and she, I do like her ship as well, like the tertiary, the obligatory head ship.
Like that one, I think it's sort of wholesome because they've already known each other for a while, and you just kind of know it's going to end up like that. But it's not the main focus, but it's still very kind of nice that not everyone is gay or bi, just you know, and I think that's good.
And I just have a big loyalty kink, and he's just so, you know, he's just so loyal. It's like, you know,
it's horrible. My god, it's so pure.
Yes, and I'm just really grateful that they didn't change the actor so I can easily forget their age difference.
Because
you know, in actuality, you know, he got to know her when she was like 12, and he was already, I don't know, must have been 20 or something. So that was kind of weird. But because it's the same actor, it doesn't matter. He's not actually that much older than she is, I don't think.
Yeah, and that makes me so relieved because like that would have been kind of big oof.
We have three couples and they're all really nice. So there's this is one of the shows where I don't think there will be lots of people shipping non-canon.
Pairings. I think it's just because it's already canon. There's no non-canon things going on. But for like ships that aren't canon, there will be more fan ones and stuff like that. Like I think, like just for example, I personally think that My Hero Academia has a lot of fan wars and stuff between like who people who ship Deku or like Todoroki or Bakugo. And I feel like it's, I don't know, just respect each other's ships, and as long as you don't hate, it should be fine. But people just they don't do that, so. Yeah.
So it's really nice when there's fandom where people, you know, just kind of like are happy shipping their ship, and
they just, we do our own thing and everyone's okay with it, and I think that's great.
And I guess if it's small fandoms, it's also kind of nice that, you know, because you're just grateful when people create something for your ship. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh yeah, oh, normally I'm not in, I don't know, this trope, but oh, because it's this ship, I'm totally going to read
it. Like one of my Tumblr friends, the Bubble Tea Monster, they, like, every time I would write something, they would be like, oh my god, I can't believe it, it's so good, and just, I really want to make more content for her and other people who are, like, lacking good content, so,
Yeah, it definitely helps to get such nice feedback. But yeah, so should we, you said that you put together some recommendations for people?
Oh yes, I have. I have a lot of, like, fanfics.
Very good.
There wasn't much fan art. So my favorite fanfics is, one of them is You're Not Who I Thought You Were by Trevi Trevo, also known as Decadent Deer Police on Tumblr. So their fanfic, which, like, what I mentioned earlier, is kind of like where they switch. So yeah, so that was really good. I loved it. Like, I was, like, thinking, there should be something like that. And as I'm scrolling through AO3, I'm like, oh my god, there is. And I was really happy about it. Yeah. And another one is Can I Have Your Autograph by Starry Star on AO3. It's basically kind of like an AU where I think Tani is, like, an idol, an actor, and Xiaofei is, like, really into his acting and stuff. It's kind of similar to the Korean manga. Starboy and, oh no, wait, oh my god, I got this one, Star and Fanboy. It's kind of like that, but I don't know, it's very wholesome and pure. And, like, one of the part where in that fic was, like, Tani and Xiaofei actually met before Tani got popular, and I was like, this, yes, it made me so happy, and I was just, like, smiling really stupidly reading it. But yeah, those are, like, my favorite fics of all time in this fandom, but there's so many good fics, you can't actually believe it's legit.
Yeah. It's funny
that
they're both AUs.
Yes.
Do you also have canon-based fic that you would recommend?
Oh, let's see, I wrote it down. Canon ones, one of them is Weldock, I think, by Maple Girl. It's a post-canon fic where they're already married. And another one is I Like the Way You Look at Me by Stevie on AO3. They're also on Tumblr as well. I think they're just both post-canon fics.
Yeah.
And kind of when they're already married. So that's just big yes. I think I forgot. Could I say the ones I would recommend for people? Okay. So the one I would, two I would recommend is Walk Into a Trap Willingly by Wei Longfu. That one is, I don't know, I think it's still kind of based during the time when the show was running, so it's not canon, but it's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. I really liked it. And that fic is kind of like a bunch of ficlets, so it's kind of like the own way of how they would meet each other or how it would go in their perspective, but it still has so much canon bins to it, so it's really nice. And another one is With You I Heed, I think, by Floyd Baxter. It's like an aftermath sort of thing. It's not that long, but both of them are just really nice and refreshing. And you just, even if you don't know the show itself, you still have an idea of what it was like. So I think that's really good.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
And do you have, like, authors that you read everything from?
I have, like, a list of authors.
Oh, okay.
So, I think it's just people who are mostly who post a lot, like Floor mm-hmm. Baxter, Starry Stars, Wei Lan Fu, Maple Girl, Trevi and Trevo, and Stevie. Those like six, I've read almost all of their fics, and I'm just like, I love all how they write. And even if they're different, they still feel very comforting to me. Like, I don't know, they're just good authors, and I'm like so envious. I'm like, I want to be a good author.
Yeah, and are there also like graphic fanworks that you would recommend, like vids or fan art?
I think any fan art or like videos on YouTube are really nice, because they're just some are like compilations of scenes or some videos are just kind of like song edits where they would have like some clips of the show and put it with the song, and like it's kind of like they make their own story. So I don't have a specific one, so just all the ones I watch, I just like love it. And the pictures or like fan art, that's not much, but I think any is like good enough for me. Yeah.
So, and and you'll send me all the links so I can
put
them together. Great. And do you have someone that I should talk to next?
Oh yes, I planned this out. I would like to nominate my adorable platonic wife, Amber Fango. So and I think they'll talk about Stucky from Marvel. I think you've talked about.
Oh my god. Okay, finally.
Yeah, they're like super big on Stucky, and they would talk about it a lot to me, but I'm not that into Marvel, but I'm like, cool, you know, like they're my wife, so I was supported no matter what.
Yeah. I already had two Marvel episodes and neither one of them was Stucky.
Oh no.
So yes. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when people want to find you online, they can do so on Tumblr, right?
On Tumblr, yes. My Tumblr is Trees and Sky. That's my main. Or you can like try to like find me on my side blog. It's a K-pop blog. If you're into that stuff, it's your local icon. So it's just such a stupid name, but at the time it was funny. And you can also find me on Instagram, Trevies, right? Like T-R-E-E. E-E-S, right?
Yeah.
It's like a mix of trees and my like fake name, Eve. And right, yes.
And as you mentioned, on AO3.
Oh, yes, and Carrie Miller, yes. Oh, that's why I write History Detrapped in K-pop Fix. And my main is Evelyn Harrison, which I write, like, I wrote Dear Evan Hansen Fix on it, but I just kind of stopped since I moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you also sent me the links to your social media.
Yes, I did.
Great.
Yes.
Awesome. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm like so happy.
This was lots of fun.
Yes.
And I hope people will take the time to watch the show, because it's not all that much of a time investment.
Yeah, I think like if you want a good BL and like sort of learn Chinese while you're at it, it's a perfect show, actually. Yeah.
It's refreshingly devoid of a lot of the pitfalls of lots of BL shows, like terrible cliches and stuff.
Yeah.
Great. So again, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
This wraps up the 21st episode of the Shipping Podcast. I hope you enjoyed our chat and can't wait to check out the links in the show notes, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net. The next episode will be released on December 6th, earlier for Patreon supporters. It'll be the third Marvel ship, and my own personal OTP, which I swear I didn't plan. I'll be talking to the Winter Soldier Loves Plums about Stephen Bucky, aka Stucky. Yay!
You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a supporter on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics. And that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast and keep me going. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamworth, and on shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as shirazade@fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.
Do I sound like a 17-year-old?
You sound youngish, but
that's fair.
I mean, you could easily be early 20s as well.
I could easily be early 20s.
Yeah, like
I could be a 20-year-old if I wanted to be.
I mean, if the voice, and on the internet, like if you don't tell anyone how old you are, it's like
they'll never know.